Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much that you revealed truth to us, that you speak to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can open your word and be expectant to hear you speaking to us. So today, Lord, as we look at your word, we pray that you would reveal truth to us. We wouldn't come to just hear the thoughts and imaginations of man, but Lord, that we want to hear from you. So speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever questioned whether or not God is speaking to you? Have you ever questioned, is that really you, God, speaking? Is that just my imagination, my thoughts? If that opportunity that's in front of you, that opportunity that presents itself, is this opportunity from God? I mean, Matt has that, he has many different opportunities and things to do, but the question is that really from God? Or is it not? Is it my thoughts? And if you're today, if you are a Christian today, let me clarify that, if you are someone that's given your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, not just say, yeah, Jesus is, I believe in Jesus. No, if you've given your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then you can expect he's going to lead and guide you. You can expect that because he is your Lord. He's going to lead and guide you every step of the way. That's what you've given yourself to when you say, yes, Jesus is my Lord. Can you imagine being in a relationship with someone and that person never speaks to you? So how long would that relationship last? So you can speak as much as you like, but they never speak to you. That's not a relationship. And so many people who say, yes, I'm a Christian, they never let God speak to them. And I phrase that carefully because it's not that God doesn't want to speak to you or doesn't speak to you. You never let him. You never silence yourself and allow him to speak to you. So today, I want to just look briefly at three vital questions. One, knowing that God does speak to us. He does speak to us. The second one is knowing how God speaks to us. And then the third one is remembering when God has spoken to you. We need to remember the times that he has given us direction and he's clearly led us, remembering those times. And you know, last week we began our series on Gideon, and Gideon, the mighty man of valor that he was introduced in Judges chapter 6, this judge of Israel. And when we think of a judge, it's not a person that sits behind a bench and rules on things. No, the judges in the book of Judges were actually leaders. They were mighty warriors, and Deborah was one of them. So that's where my wife gets her name from, and I respect her as the judge in the house. But these were mighty men. And so what happened between the period of Joshua dying and the kings being appointed by God, there was this time period where Israel would go and begin to follow the gods of the area that they were in, the Canaanite gods. And they began to turn the eyes off of God and began to do their own thing. The Bible says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And God would judge the Israelites by bringing a foreign nation in to overwhelm them, overrun them, and punish them by using this foreign nation. So this is what happened. In Judges chapter 6, we read about the Midianites that had come from the east side of the Jordan, and they swarmed over Israel like locusts, the Bible says. And locusts devour everything in front of them. And so the Midianites were overwhelming, and God was using them to punish the Israelites to get their attention. And the Israelites turned and cried out to God because they were desperate. They were crying out to God, save us. Why are we being punished like this? And God called a man named Gideon. And God calls him, and in verse 12 of chapter 6, the Lord says, the Lord is with you, a mighty man of valor. Well, he was hiding in a cave, grinding out a little bit of grain just to make some food for his family in a wine press because he was hiding from the Midianites. And I'm sure as he was called, he looked around and he started telling God why he was not qualified to do the job. Well, I'm from the smallest clan of the smallest tribe, and I'm the smallest in my father's family. I'm a nobody, God. Why would you use me? And as I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking, how funny is it that the creation turns to the Creator and says, I cannot do what you've created me to do. You thought about that? The creation turns to the Creator and says, I'm not qualified or able to do what you've created me to do. And we think, well, Gideon, God told you to do it. You can do it. Well, we're exactly the same so often. God tells us to do something and we say, no, there's no ways I could do that. I'm not qualified. I don't have enough resources. I'm not able. And God says, but I created you to do that. We can never turn to the Creator and say, we're not qualified. So we pick up today in verse 16, and we're going to go to verse 24 of Judges chapter 6. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, and we're going to go through these verses and look at them in detail today. So Judges chapter 6, verse 16. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you. And he said, I will stay till you return. So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. He put the meat he put in a basket and the broth he put in a pot and brought them to him under the terebinth or oak tree and presented them. And the angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock and pour the broth over them. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that this was the angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day it stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. That night the Lord, we're reading to verse 24. So God calls this man Gideon. God calls him and he promises him, he says, you will have victory over the Midianites. And he appoints him as the judge. But not just victory. Verse 16 says that you will strike them as one man. And some of you have the King James Version, I think, mentions this. It says, you will smite them. We love that word, you know, to get smoten, completely destroyed. The Hebrew, another word translated for you will smite them is slaughter them. As one man, you will slaughter the Midianites. Total destruction. I can imagine Gideon thinking, well, I am one man. But yes, one man under the power of God can do that. So it's quite a calling. And Gideon is understandably cautious. He's hesitant. Verse 17 says, if now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak to me. How strange is that? He's talking to him. So imagine, I picked up Matt at the airport on Thursday. So imagine, I get out the car, we put his bags in the car, I greet him, I say, hi Matt, so good to see you. And then I'll step back and say, Matt, it's good to see you, but show me a sign that it's really you. Because I don't know if it's you, so show me a sign. I mean, Gideon is speaking to this man, and then he still says, but is it really you? Because he knew there was more to this messenger than just a man in front of him. He wasn't sure if it was the angel of the Lord, or a prophet, or just someone that appeared out of nowhere to speak to him. And so he wanted that sign. So before he allows the angel of the Lord to respond, he says, please do not depart here until I come and bring out my present and set it before you. So Gideon rushes off and he prepares this meal. He gets a goat and he gets some unleavened cakes, and he makes some bread or unleavened cakes. He makes some broth and brings it to this holy messenger. And we don't know why Gideon did this, but possibly it was a test. It was a test to see, well, if this person eats this meal, then I know he's just a prophet. If he consumes the meal and he eats it, well, then he's a prophet. But if he does something else, then I know that maybe this is a special visitor from God. So this was his test. Bring some food before him. And it's interesting, as you look through the meal that he brings, and literally this is a sacrificial gift that he brings, because he's got a very meager supply. The Midianites haven't left them very much. He's got hardly anything there. And he takes one of his prize goats, a young goat, and he takes some unleavened cakes, and he makes this meal. It's a sacrificial meal. Out of his scarcity, he makes this really good meal for this visitor. And as you look at this meal, doesn't it remind you of the meal that Abraham prepared for the three visitors in Genesis 18, when we spoke about that a few weeks ago? Abraham says, hold on, don't go anywhere, and he goes and prepares this meal, very similar to the meal that Gideon prepares here. And the angel tells him the strange thing. He says, yeah, take the meat and the cakes and put it on this rock. And it possibly was the same rock that Gideon was grinding out the grain on. So it might have been the wine press. And just put it here and pour the broth over it. And Gideon doesn't hesitate, because he knows this is the test. He doesn't hesitate and say, I just spent hours preparing this meal. You want me to pour it over a rock? Anyway, he does as he's told to do. He tests the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord proceeds to reach out the tip of his staff. He doesn't strike the rock. He just touches it. And fire comes up out of the rock and consumes this meal. Absolutely consumes it. Immediately Gideon knows this is the angel of the Lord. This is the messenger of God. And we looked at last week, he recognized that this was God himself. This was the pre-incarnate Christ. And he realized that he could die because he's just seen God. It was an angel. He said, well, you know, angels appeared on many occasions to people, and they were afraid. They fell on their faces and worshiped. But he knew this was different. And he thought, if I'd just seen the face of God, I'm going to die. I'm going to perish. And immediately the messenger disappears. And that was enough for Gideon. In verse 22, he says, then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And Gideon uses the Hebrew word Yahweh, the unspoken name of God. And he realizes, my life is in danger now because I've seen God. And he would have remembered in Exodus 33, obviously he didn't know it was Exodus 33 because it was a lot of oral tradition, and maybe he'd read the writings of Moses at that time, but he'd read how God said to Moses in Exodus 33:20, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. There's only been one man that could ever stand in the presence of God and live. There's only one person, and that was Jesus Christ. Because he was the pure, spotless Lamb of God. Jesus was fully God and fully man. So he could identify with us, but he was not born in sin as the rest of us are. And if because we're born in sin, if we come into the holy presence of God, we'll be immediately obliterated by his holiness and his glory and his majesty. So Gideon realizes this. Just thinking about that, because we cannot come into the presence of God and live. What Jesus did on the cross for us, by providing access for us to the Father, to speak to him, to call him Father, is so much more than we could ever imagine. We get to talk to the Creator of the universe. How amazing is that, because of what Jesus has done for us? But God doesn't stop speaking to Gideon. Sure, his presence is gone, but immediately in the next verse we hear God saying, God speaking to him and says, peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. God says, it's okay. It's okay. You won't die. God brings peace. The presence of God brings peace. God's name brings peace. Gideon must have been terrified. But that's why Jesus, when Jesus was announced in Isaiah, what is one of the names of Jesus? He's the Prince of Peace. God brings peace into situations. Have you ever spent time worrying? Maybe you're struggling right now. Maybe you're in a situation right now where you say, I don't know what to do. I'm afraid for my work situation. Maybe you're afraid or worrying about your child. Maybe you're worrying about a financial situation. Have you spent time going to the Prince of Peace and allowing Him to give you peace for that situation? That's what God does. That's a promise from God. God's Word is full of promises about the fact that He is the Prince of Peace, to bring peace. I'm just going to share three verses with you quickly, and they'll be on the screen. But these are promises from God's Word to me and to you about how God brings peace to our lives. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Psalm 27, 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah 41, 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We have promises in God's Word that we do not have to fear. We don't have to walk around in anxiety and fear. We have to walk in the promises of God's Word. My friends, fear and anxiety must melt in the presence of the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the living Word of God, and we can declare that. So yes, you may have anxiety and fear and worry in your life right now. Go to God's Word. Spend time in God's Word. Allow Him to remove that fear and anxiety from your life, and He will do that. It's His promise. So getting back to Gideon, verse 24, we read that, sure, he hears this is God, and he knows it's God, and immediately he builds an altar. He builds an altar, and it kind of sounds strange because he's just offered the sacrifice. The Lord has consumed the sacrifice, and then he takes some rocks and he builds an altar. Why build an altar? Gideon built an altar of remembrance to remind him, so he could go back to it and say, this is where God encountered me. This is where God spoke to me. This is where God promised me what is to come. And yet he built this altar in a land where they were worshiping false gods. There were idols all over the land that began to worship Baal and other false gods. And he built this altar to the one true God. And he worshiped Him there. Gideon knew that he would need something to go back to, something that he could go back to when times got tough, to remind him of the promises of God's Word. And we need those altars in our lives too. We need those times, those places, those consecrated moments that we can go back to and say, that's where God promised me. I can go back to that time. I can go back to that place. So what does that altar look like in your life? Well, for one, baptism is an altar. Baptism is a moment in time that you can go back to. Maybe you've got a picture of it and say, that is where I was baptized. I can remember what Jesus did for me by that moment of what I did in obedience to Him by being baptized. Maybe every time you share your testimony, that's an altar. Every time you share with others what Jesus has done for you, you're building an altar. You're saying, I look back to the time where Jesus saved me, where He changed my life. Maybe the day that God set you free from addictions. Maybe that day that you can go back to and you can remember, I was once addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling, whatever your addiction is, nowadays social media even. Whatever the addiction is that God has set you free from, you can go back to that day and I was set free on that day. Build an altar. It's a remembrance of what God has done for you. So Gideon did that. And God called him, God spoke to him, And he says, you'll be the next judge of Israel, the next leader of the people of Israel. You know, the Bible is full of times when God speaks to people. It's full of occasions where God is speaking to people, and there's two primary reasons why God speaks. The first one is for us to establish a relationship with him. Remember, as this progression goes with Gideon, he begins and he begins talking to this man under the terebinth, which is the oak tree, and God starts speaking to him, and he's not quite sure who this is, but he starts speaking, and then he says, well, let me go and test and get this meal, and he presents this meal, and immediately the meal is consumed, the sacrifice is accepted, and he recognizes that this is God that he's speaking to, and then God just starts speaking to him. God speaks to you and I so that we will recognize his voice. So that we will know, yes, this is God speaking to me. I recognize his voice because for years he's been speaking to me. God speaks so we may know him. And the second reason God speaks is to call people, to call them to respond, to call them into action. God called Gideon and said, I'm calling you out into action to deliver my people. God speaks to people. When God called Gideon, that was his commissioning. That was his commissioning into service for the Lord. Gideon needed to know that this was truly God because he knew that times are going to get tough ahead. When God calls you and I, he doesn't tell us what the 10-year plan is. He doesn't tell us what the 20-year plan is. He said, just follow me. Because if we said, you know, if God said, well, here's the 10-year plan, what do you think? No, we just got to trust him as Lord and say, your plan is better than mine. So I don't know where this next 10 years goes, but Lord, I trust you that you're good. And everything that you're leading me into is good. Imagine if God, the creator of the universe, called us and said, can I get your approval on my plan for your life? We would mess it up every time because God's ways are perfect. You may say, well, I don't hear God speaking. I'm not really sure if God does speak to me. I don't hear God speaking to me. He doesn't speak to me. Now, before I go into that, you're not unique in that. I hear that frequently from people. Frequently people say, I don't, you know, you may hear God speak to you, but I don't. Again, go back to the beginning of the message. I said, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and he is your Lord, he is speaking to you. But we've got to go back to and say, well, why am I not hearing? It's because you're not listening. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So in other words, I've got to allow God to speak to me. I've got to still things down. I've got to quieten things down. Because so often our lives are so busy, so chaotic. There's so many things. We have other people's opinions. We have the TV on all the time. We have our phones where we are constantly on social media or whatever we're doing. There's so much busyness in our lives. We don't disconnect and say, Lord, speak to me. Be still and know that I am God. You know, this past day or so, we've had the 24-hour prayer time in the chapel. What a wonderful opportunity to come in and disconnect and hear from God. Allow him to speak to you. Be still and know that I am God. So how does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? Well, primarily God speaks to us through his word. He's given us his word. We've got to spend time in his word. And I promise you, if you spend, I know for myself, if I come and I start reading God's word, if I'm unhurried and I allow God to speak to me, he will speak to me. I can't just rush in and say, Lord, I've got 30 seconds, give me a verse and that'll be it for the day. You've got to be unhurried, allowing God to speak to you through his word. You know, when Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan, and they got to the west side of the Jordan, God told him, now send a representative from each of the tribes to go into the river and take out a stone. And I'm sure he got some big mighty man. He said, get a big stone and they built memorial stones. They built a memorial on the west side of the Jordan to remind them of what God has done for them. And I told you about some of the memorials that God has given me and gives us in our lives. But God sometimes, when He speaks to us, make those scripture verses memorials. Make memory verses your memorials. So when God speaks to you through His Word, write it down, commit it to memory, know it, go back to it, make it a memorial stone of when God has spoken to you. I'm going to share a few of mine. Luke 12:48 was the day that God called me into ministry. I clearly remember it. I'm not going to tell you what the verses say, because you've got your own memorial stones. Joshua 1:9, God used to prepare me for ministry. That's a memorial stone for me. Psalm 81:10 is where God promised me that He would always supply my needs. Jeremiah 17 was a reminder to me that I will trust the Lord, because His ways for me are far better than the ways of man. Have those memorial stones. And I know Debbie's smiling here, because these memorial stones are our memorial stones. We'll look at each other and we'll just say, remember that. Remember Jeremiah 17. Remember Psalm 81:10. Have you got God's word in your heart and in your mind as a memorial stone? You need those memorial stones in your life. God speaks to us through His word, but you have to be reading His word in order for Him to speak to you through His word. You have to be in His word. You have to be meditating on His word. God's word is truth. It is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It says so. But you know, God also speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. That still small voice. When you're praying for someone, God gives you an inclination. Or when you're driving down the road and there's someone on the side of the road and you just have this urge, I need to help that person. That's God speaking to you. God also speaks to you through other believers. Sometimes we can call on each other and say, I'm wrestling with this. And God gives that person an encouragement for you. And you can testify, you can agree, yes, that is God. And in agreement, you can fellowship with one another. That is why you should come to church. That's why you should be in a life group, a Sunday school group, where you can have fellowship with one another, because we encourage one another. We build one another up. We speak God's word to each other. God also speaks through nature. I love that song that Rachel introduced us to. Have you ever sat out in the open where there's no city lights and just looked out on the majesty of the sky? How can you not believe in the awesome power of God? Debbie and I were able to go up Mauna Kea, and you're up at about 10,000 feet, and it's completely open sky. I know Matt's been up there too, and they let you have a look through some telescopes at the stars. It just gives you an incredible picture of the nature and the character and the power of God as He holds all of this in His hand. As we were singing that song, you know, man is constantly trying to see further and further into the depths of space. Constantly looking for the edge of space. And I can just picture God saying, oh, let's just throw in another billion stars. Oh, they're getting close. Let's make it another. It is limitless. We will never fully ever grasp the limitless nature of God's creation. And yet He holds it all in His hand. But what makes it so amazing is that He holds all of those stars in His hand, and He knows every hair on your head. And He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to talk to Him, and He wants to talk to you. He's your heavenly Father. So how do we know that God is speaking to us? And there's a number of ways you can test. You can make sure that this is God speaking to you. First and foremost, the primary test of knowing that God's speaking to you is, does it exalt Christ? Does it exalt Christ? Is the name of Jesus lifted high through what He's telling you to do? In John 16, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. If you think that, well, maybe that was God's voice, or, you know, maybe that was God speaking to me. If it doesn't glorify Christ, if it doesn't exalt the name of Jesus, it's not God speaking to you. It's very simple. A second test is it scriptural? Is it scriptural? Is it biblical? Well, how do we know if it's biblical or not? We have to know the Word of God. We have to spend time in the Word of God. Is it biblical? Proverbs 30, verse 5 to 6 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his word, lest he rebuke you and you found to be a liar. If what you think you heard from God contradicts scripture, it's probably not God speaking to you. It's definitely not God speaking to you. If it contradicts his word to you, it's not God speaking to you. And if someone prays for you, sometimes people praying for you, well-meaning, but they say something that just doesn't make sense in God's word. So for example, if someone prays for you and says, I see from this day onwards, your life is going to be absolutely smooth sailing and it's going to be beautiful and God's going to bless you and you're never going to have another day of pain in your life. That contradicts God's word. Jesus himself said in John 16, 33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So if it contradicts God's word, God's revealed word to us, it is not from God. As we close, I just want to give you two very important distinctions between you and I and Gideon. So you and I, we're in an amazing time to be alive. Gideon did not have the presence of God in him, working through him all the time. You know, when Jesus left and he ascended into heaven, he left behind the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to come to the church, to dwell in those who love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Gideon didn't have that. God came and spoke to him in person, but you and I have the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, third person of the Trinity, in us all the time. Doesn't just come and go. Speaking to us, revealing truth to us. The question is, are we listening? Are we making ourselves available to God so that he can speak to us? And then secondly, Gideon didn't have God's word. He didn't have the Bible. He had the law of Moses, maybe the first five books of the Pentateuch of the Bible, the written works of Moses. That's all Gideon may have had. He maybe had a lot of oral tradition. We have God's word for us. We have such an advantage. We have the Holy Spirit and we have God's word. What excuse do we have to not hear God speaking to us? And yet Gideon was available. God spoke to him. So if you feel that God is speaking to you, but maybe you're not hearing, or maybe you're struggling with that, today I want to pray with you. We're going to have a prayer team up front here as we close the service. And they want to just pray with you, and maybe you're feeling discouraged. Maybe you're feeling today that you need the Prince of Peace to speak to you. Let the people who are going to become forward to pray for you, to experience the Prince of Peace, to speak into your life. Maybe you need a memorial stone. Maybe you need a memorial stone today to say, yes, today I want to be set free from that addiction. Or yes, today I want to give my life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Make today that memorial stone in your life. So as we close, the worship team's going to come up and we're going to sing. Don't leave this place today. If the Lord has been speaking to you, don't leave this place today and say, well, maybe I'll think about that. No, if you want God, God has been speaking to you. If you want God to transform your life, come forward and let him speak to you as these people pray for you. So Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you do speak to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you paid the price so that we could have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. Lord, let us take advantage of that. Lord, teach us how to be still and know that you are God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.